Welcome to Off the Board. In this podcast, we sit down with key figures of the cornhole community to talk about current events, insights, and the future of this booming sport. Off the Board is hosted by Jaime Sanchez and myself, Raul Chavez, and is brought to you by Buffalo Boards. Hello, Buffalo Nation. Welcome to Off the Board Podcast. I'm your host, Raul Chavez.
Hey, guys. I'm your co-host, Jaime Sanchez. We're here at the Buffalo headquarters. Today, I'd like to introduce our special guests, two of the Texas GOATs, AJ Sims and Josh Gross.
So, Jaime, I know these guys, they mean a lot to us because, honestly, they're our mentors almost.
You know? Oh, yeah, absolutely. When we first started.
Yeah, we've been playing about 3 years, and every step of the way, these guys have helped us whenever we wanted it and needed it, honestly. I know, AJ, anytime I text you, you're texting me right back, and Josh, you're the same way, so we appreciate that. This podcast might be a little long, but it's because of all the knowledge y'all have, and we wanted to to spread it to everybody, not just us. So thank y'all for coming, and we really, really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us on.
All right, Josh, AJ, so let's recap the 2020 season. Y'all came off the 2020 season double-wise as its top 10 team, correct? Can y'all kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah, man, really good season for us. We're able to finish in the top 10 of the doubles in the pro division. Really, we're consistent the whole year. Our worst finishes in a bracket were fifth, and we actually had a couple runs where we're king seat, got some ESPN time, and overall, man, real productive season. You know, pretty happy with the outcome. Still got plenty of room for growth, though.
What about singles? How'd y'all feel like y'all did in singles?
Singles went pretty good. Obvious, like I said, there was a loaded field. The field was loaded. I mean, you got some of the best work players in the world finishing towards the end of the list. You know what I'm saying? But what I will say, I finished 36th overall in singles. The year before, I was 15. So I did, take a step back. But, I feel like it was a major accomplishment. With all the talent that we had throughout the entire year, just finishing 36th was a nice accomplishment. Of course, I'd like to do better, but I still think it went pretty well.
Yeah, my singles honestly was like a little lackluster for what I would expect of myself. I would even label it as an underperformance, but as a pro, it's more about how you bounce back. I always say like you're a reflection of your work after a down game, a down tournament. So how you bounce back from a loss or a down season, if you feel you underperform, that's what's going to define me moving forward. And I'm really, really excited about this season coming up.
So let's talk about the beginning for y'all. Like, how long have y'all been playing? How long y'all been playing together?
So, it's been a minute.
I guess I'll take this. We've been playing together for, I want to say, 3.5 years. We started playing in 2017. We started the first beginning of the year playing with separate partners. He had a different partner, Eric Weathers, who was a beast. It was, before it was Josh, Eddie, AJ, it was Eric, AJ, Josh, mm-hmm. And that's kind of was our clique. They always played together. Like, I was kind of a one-off, so I was always finding different partners, but they pretty much ran through and dominated everything before that. And then I guess I'll let Josh tell you a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so fun fact, Eric is my brother-in-law. So our wives, our sisters, we mess that up all the time, man. We always, one time he said, our sisters or wives or something like that. Or he said something like that. I was like, yeah, that's backwards, but... Eric's a beast. He really got us all into the game. Like, if it wasn't for Eric, probably wouldn't have played pro to begin with. And who knows, maybe we never take that step and think that we missed the bus or something. But yeah, Eric was great. But life happened. He had a baby, got married, had some things come up. Man, AJ was ready, and that's when we won the championships in 2019. That was our second tournament to ever play together.
Oh wow.
And we had that level of success, and we've been running it ever since.
So were you the one that invited AJ, or did AJ ask you to play?
Man, so we've all been best friends for the longest time. So, like, pretty much, like he said, he got a late jump on getting to the elite level that we were playing at the time. And as we, continued to improve our game, so did he. Well, then he got to where there was literally no difference in skill level between me or him. So he was just ready to take over. So when Eric started struggling and decided to take, put more priority on business and personal life, man, it was an easy decision. So pretty much I was like, dude, we gotta play.
Right.
And he was ready. So
the thing I equate that to is, if you're watching football, you got a backup quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You don't sit there and you don't prepare to be the backup.
Right.
You prepare to be the man. So I knew that I wasn't to the level that they were at that moment, but that's what drove me, man. So I worked every single day to get to that point. Mm-hmm. I was not going to be denied no matter what. My goal was not the point, because we had always said that the two best players of us three will always play together. Well, I was chasing the number one spot. I wasn't chasing the second spot. Mm-hmm. That way I can never be denied. You know, right. Two and three always switch.
Right.
But you know what I'm saying? The one person, they can never be denied. So my goal was I was working hard every day. Hey, let's throw. I'm pulling up. Let's throw. Let's go play. Let's play. The days they didn't want to play, I'm pulling up. I didn't never ask to come over. I'm, you know, when they look outside, they just see I'm out there.
Right.
And, like, that's where I was. And eventually we played so much, you know, in the first – 4 or 5 months of us playing this game that we were able to, like, you know, simulate playing for 5 or 6 years.
Yep.
2 or 3 hours every single day, no matter what. And, like, that's kind of what it took. Like, in about 6 months, we were already pretty elite.
Yeah. So the question that that me and Jaime get asked a lot in the Houston area is, like, would you rather win a doubles title, a national title, or would you rather win a singles national title?
Doubles all day for me. Yeah. I mean, singles is cool, man. I've had my share of singles tournament wins, and I enjoy playing singles, but something about the effort and the chemistry and the battling and just trying to pick your guy up, you let him down, he picks you up, nothing beats that to me. I mean, singles is fun, but, man, doubles somehow to me has a legendary effect of, like, we did it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I did it's cool, but, man, we did it. Somehow that, for me, is a bigger deal.
There's so many emotions that comes with the doubles,
yes.
Right? It's because we all know, like you guys know, and most top players know, that it's built off the team effort. So, yeah, I could be throwing 11-5 on my side, and, you know, it could be struggling, or vice versa. You know, Josh could be throwing 11-5 on his side, and I'm struggling on my side. It's something about, you know what, we have to channel this moment, and we have to pick it up together in this moment. And when we're playing, we're not playing for ourselves. We're playing for everybody that has seen us, everybody that's, you know, our wives, their sacrifice, and our kids,
right.
That, you know, when we might miss a few games or something, like our kids that are, you know, not there. So when you're playing doubles and you look at that person and you say, you know what, I got you. Like, that feeling right there is like, you know what, hey, you're struggling, I got this. Putting that on your back, that means more to me than singles. Singles, don't get me wrong, I want to win that too. But doubles, absolutely, man, that's the one. Because it feels more like a community,
right.
You know, win opposed to a single accomplishment.
Which one do you think is harder?
Man, I gotta say singles probably, but I don't know. Doubles is a unique deal. So I don't know. What do you think?
I think doubles is harder.
Yeah.
Just cause, like, again, you can have one guy show up in doubles and play his butt off, and if you don't have that group effort and that group, you know, connection, or, you know, everything go right in a group, mm-hmm. You're not going to win. Singles, you come ready to play, you come putting it out there, you're most likely going to win. Doubles, you have to depend on what he brings, also what you bring. It's less that you can control. So it's like you got to be connected to right. Win that doubles.
You know, one more thing I'll add. I feel like we have the unique element of being – somehow we are better in doubles than we are in singles. And the reason I think that is, so, like, here goes my math, all right? So, like,
I knew it was coming.
We were ninth. So I'm like, okay, like, respectively, that would be like a top 20 in singles, yet we both weren't there. Mm-hmm. I feel like we are far tougher in doubles. We're tough in both divisions, but, man, doubles, that just shows you the chemistry aspect, man. Like, mm-hmm. How many times have we seen two elite singles players team up and just, it doesn't work? Like, right. In doubles, like, they're worse in doubles than they are respectively in singles, whether it's bags, chemistry, you know, worried about letting your guy right. down because he don't know you like that.
Right.
You know, we can let each other down, and it's a long drive home. But
right.
After that first 30 minutes goes by, man, we're roasting each other again or whatever, you know. So, like, it's, you know, like, man, you really suck tonight.
Right.
So, but yeah, so I throw that in there too, man. So that's why I feel like, I don't know, doubles for me is easier, but it's like the vibe is just so simple.
It also makes you dig deep, like when you care, because
yeah.
Like in certain things.
It's like I focus more.
Letting yourself down, that's a challenge in itself.
Right.
But when you look across and you're letting your brother down,
yeah.
That's a whole, it makes you tap, like for me, it makes me tap into a whole nother level, especially like if he's not as comfortable in that moment. You know what? Hey, look, I can sit here and I can, you know, because we have the partners that shrug. Oh man, he sucks right now. Like we, you know, hey, no. Hey, look, you just maintain on that side. I got you. Mm-hmm. And that right there to me means more. Like, and that's more rewarding because you're like in a moment where someone like looks at you and is like, hey man, I need you. You came through.
You know, it's interesting you say that because like that little advice you just gave, so many cornhole doubles teams, I see that where you one guy's just like, oh my goodness,
right?
Like, he's not shooting like he mm-hmm. should be and stuff like that. Like, right. how do you think that makes that guy feel? Man, like, he knows that he's shooting bad,
right?
And you're doing this, the body language,
right.
Like,
right.
Yeah.
Guys, take that little piece of advice that AJ just gave and use it in your game because you gave that to me. You know, mm-hmm. whenever you know Jaime, if he ever struggles, you know, I tell him all the time, like, hey, I got right. you. Even if I don't believe I got him, right, I'm like, hey, right. I got
no,
you.
No, you have to fake right. it sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, know. Yeah. I mean, that's why, like, we're always saying the questions that we get asked. I mean, one of the main other questions that we get asked, like, what advice would y'all give? And my always first aspect of the game is I always say, which, I mean, y'all probably agree with me, is I always say chemistry is going to beat talent any day. Any day. So, I mean, that's when we'll get a couple questions. People ask us, oh, what do you think? Should I play with this guy? Should I play with that guy? And then my always first response is, who you got chemistry? Because regardless of one person could be, like Josh was saying, one person could be number 9 in the nation, and the one guy could be 25. But if you have a better chemistry with the guy ranked 25, I guarantee you're going to win more games with that guy than you have the right. guy that's ranked
absolutely.
Singly.
Yep.
Absolutely. And then, like, to go off of that, see, me and Josh, we have a very unique perspective on that. Is because we don't only just think of it and think of knowledge and then, like, okay, display knowledge. We've been through it. So we've been to the point to where Josh was the best player in our state, like, hands down. There was nothing you could debate about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, multiple state championships,
right.
going on a national stage. I think 2019, was it 19 or 18? He was number 2 overall player in the world at the time. That in his first year of pro, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, he was that player, you know, at one point. And there was a time when we won the championship, like, I didn't have so many great games. And, you know, there was times where I was struggling, and he would look over at me and be like, yo, I got you. Don't worry about this. Hey, I'm going to fight. I'm not going to channel. His body language never was, like, one to give up because there's an added amount of pressure to the person that's struggling. If you see your person that's doing great, oh, man, you know, and shrugging his shoulders, shaking his head. So I will say – I had the opportunity to do the same thing when he struggled, and I made sure I picked him up. So I think, like, us being able to see it full circle, we appreciate both sides.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Do y'all ever go into the game, and, like, so just my curiosity, do y'all ever go into the game when y'all playing against a team, regardless of if they're good or not, even before the game starts, do y'all ever get that feeling that, oh, we're going to beat this team because we got better chemistry, even before the game even starts, if they're hot or not? Do y'all ever feel that y'all – from the very get-go, that you're going to beat a team? Obviously, you're going to have the advantage, but do y'all feel like chemistry plays a big role whenever y'all enter a doubles match?
Man, we almost discuss it. Like, you know, I'd be like, hey, I watched them play earlier. So-and-so's really upset. You know, like, we like to bring a lot of energy into the game, too. So we feel like we can beat people more than just throwing the bags. Like, we, you know, we don't really play, like, mental games in a dirty way, but yeah. If I can bring some extra energy – how many times do you see me like, come on, that's 2. Come right. on, that's 3. Like, right. you know, like, that's for my guy. But at the same time, it's kind of I wouldn't want to hear that if I'm missing.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But sure. I'm not trying to be mean with it. But at the same time, I feel like we can do that. And it's genuine. Like, that's not me faking the noise. Like, I'm genuinely excited and trying to get my guy going. So I feel like people know that they get that coming to play us. So I think before they even think about the talent, they're like, man, these guys are always like, tough, like, they're always tough. So yeah, I'm always confident stepping up, doesn't matter who it is.
So speaking of chemistry, Josh, you actually got to play with Eddie Grindersleeve this past weekend at the first annual Buffalo Cash Bash.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, your perspective on the whole tournament?
Yeah, absolutely. The tournament was run fantastic, man. I mean, you guys did an incredible job, the whole Buffalo team, all the sponsors that came out and made this possible. I would love to see it be an annual event. Maybe even twice a year, whatever, you know, whatever it ends up being, I'll take what I can get. It was a fantastic time. And yeah, I played with Eddie. AJ had to work. He's you know, in charge of essentially the entire custodial fleet at Texas A&M. That's a huge home game. A&M got a nice win at home against Bama.
nice win.
Yeah, it depends who you are, but yeah. but yeah, so anyways, he couldn't make it. I played with Eddie. We were able to take it down. But yeah, man, chemistry there, people may not realize it. Like, we're in a group chat with Eddie daily. Mm-hmm. Eddie comes over and practices with me on a weekly basis. We've played national scale events. We've played some other small stuff. Not too many, but we know each other real well. We know what we're capable of. So I would say the chemistry is real good with us, whether it's me and Eddie, AJ, Eddie, doesn't matter. You know, we kind of have a shared vibe on chemistry between us three.
Hey, we're all best friends, man. Yeah. So like ultimately, I'm cheering them on. I'm sending them messages right. all day while I'm at work. Y'all better win this. Because, like, you know what I'm saying? We all, like, it's a brotherhood, man. It's a bond. You know what I'm saying? And I told them they're going to win it.
Yeah. I mean, Crew Cup, who's the first person that dabbed us up off the court? Probably Eddie. Like, I mean, he basically come up on the court at Spencer McKenzie's. We're no longer BG this season. And, you know, we're technically, we were opponents against them. And, man, he's one of the first people to congratulate us. Likewise, he was on such a crazy run at Cobb's that, man, I'm sitting there at midnight supporting, you know, even though I've been out of tournaments since 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. But that's for both of us, really. So, I mean, it's a shared vibe of support for sure.
Hey, AJ, did Josh give you half the winnings?
Nah, that dude's selfish, man. didn't even, like, he let me see the big check. That's it,
right?
That's about it.
He's like, hey, look, AJ, 4,000.
Hey, you know what the worst part about that is? When I go to his house to throw, he got the big check just sitting there as soon as I walk in, like, propped up. Like, he just want to rub it in.
Oh, man. So, Josh, you just said you're no longer with BG. Let's talk about that. TC Boards. Let us know a little bit about TC Boards.
Yeah, TC Boards, owned by Cody Rodenberger out of The Hugo, Oklahoma. It's a Texahoma border city right there on the Texas and Oklahoma border.
Okay.
Kind of northeast Texas, southeast Oklahoma, whatever. Anyways, Cody, they've been in business now for several years. They decided to take the leap into the ACL pro scene to try to expand on their bag lineup. And, you know, they sent us a few bags. We really, really liked what we got sample-wise. And, you know, it kind of just kind of ran from there, man. Had some great talks with BG. They were excited to try to keep us on. And we ultimately just got an opportunity that couldn't pass up. Very mutual parting. Still good friends with Rich and Graham. But yeah, man, we're excited about trying to help TC go nationwide this year.
You mentioned bags, so have you and AJ decided what bag you're going to throw this year in doubles?
Yeah, so we're throwing Revolution. Man, be on the lookout. It's a great bag, fantastic bag. I'll just say we haven't lost much with it.
I ain't lost nothing. I've gained.
Hey, the very first time that we brought those bags out was in Spencer McKenzie. We played with Jordan Camber and some guy named James.
Baldwin, I believe.
Yeah, I think his name was Baldwin. Yeah.
They was pretty good. They were good.
Hey, there was, 128 teams in the Crew Cup? We ended up winning the whole thing with the Revolutions on the very first time that they've ever stepped outside. So
single elimination, too.
Single elimination.
That was a hard tournament. Hey, single elimination Crew Cup.
I didn't realize that.
We were playing at, 1 a.m., to the final eight, woke up at 8 a.m. the next day and finished it up, managed to get out of there alive with the win on that.
Like, super so bag, super smooth, man, plays great.
The resin, man, it's so I never realized, I mean, the more you play the game, the more you realize you guys make great bags. You know how important a resin is.
Oh, yeah.
You can put three different types of resin in the bag, and it's three different bags. So,
right.
And one of them, two of them you may hate, and one of them's like, this is it. So for me, it's got that denser, fuller feel to it. I don't know. Like, when I grab it, it won't move. So I kind of need that in my game. And, man, it happened to have the perfect resin for me for sure. So, but, yeah, we don't go on too much, I guess, on the Buffalo podcast.
So, I mean, that's actually a kind of a scary thing, don't y'all think, going from one bag that y'all did really well in with the BG and then going to something completely brand new. Like, I mean, you almost kind of, they might have had the Revolution, but then you're like, hey, let's do this to that, and it'll make it even better.
Right.
I mean, how scary was that for y'all?
So what I would say, man, is that, not to be, you know, like I said, a respectful person, but at the same point, we've been able to adjust. We believe we put so much in our craft that we're able to adjust to whatever mm-hmm. we need to throw. We won our world championship with a completely different bag than we threw the year after that. And now we're, you know, throwing a completely different bag than we threw before. And we're not going to put our name on it unless we feel comfortable with it. Okay. And we absolutely feel comfortable. This is one of the best bags I've ever thrown in my life. And I feel like our games have only improved. Because at this point, you have to get better. Like, with guys like you guys coming on the circuit, man, right, and all these other teams coming up that are popping up, you can't go back. Mm-hmm. So we have to get better. And this bag gives us an opportunity to go to the next level.
It's funny that you say that the competition's been so tough. Let's talk about y'all's practice routine. How often, how many hours? I know you said for the very first 4 months, I mean, you wanted it. And so you went out and got it. So right now, where do y'all stand on that?
Man, as it stands, weekdays, I'm getting an hour minimum per day on average. So like, even if I do happen to take one day off, you can bet that I went to a league. Like, Tuesday night is our local area league night. That's 2 hours or more of throwing. So I'm averaging an hour a day minimum, and then on the weekends it's a wild card. If we're at the cash bash, that's 10 hours, you know.
Right.
So you got to throw, man. You got to throw at least, and you got to average an hour. You got to average 7 hours a week. Mm-hmm. If you don't, you're getting left behind probably.
I mean, in that hour that you're throwing, are you throwing anything in particular as far as like playing like a Ghost Nine, or are you just throwing, or are you reaching? You mean, are you reaching trying to beat Ghost 11? I mean, what's your goal on your routines?
So it's different for me, just to keep it fresh. You know, if you continue to play Ghost every day, sometimes eventually it gets boring. So there's an interesting dynamic that I do. Like, so I recently purchased a building to put in my backyard to be able to throw. So I go outside every day, and I'll shoot for a Ghost. The first thing is Ghost 10. I like Ghost 10 and up, you know, just for me. If I play Ghost 9, I feel like I'm settling for something that is not going to win anything. And, you know, so I like Ghost 10 and up. Then I'll come back and I'll play a block situation where I'll block, and my job is to throw all my bags around the bag without touching the bag and successfully going in. And then I'll just do an airmail game where I'll just shoot, you know, 30 airmails and see how many I can hit out of 30. Like, it's always something to keep it fresh, because every aspect of that is – something you want to do. But the most important thing I feel like you can do is play singles against somebody that will challenge you. So even if I got to travel to Josh's house every day, which
he does,
which I'm doing it, I'm not knocking, I'm not asking, I'm coming by. Yo, you tired? I don't care. Let's go.
Yeah. Sometimes I'll be like, oh man.
Yeah.
He came again.
One time he looked through the blinds like, oh dang. Yeah. He's here again.
I thought he said he wasn't coming.
But he forgot he gave me a key, so it don't matter. I'm coming through. Yeah. I'm coming in. Like, so that's, to me, that ultimately is where you get the best. Mm-hmm. Because I want to challenge real game situations against one of the best in the world. And that way I never get comfortable.
Right.
And we want to tear each other's heads off.
Yeah.
I promise you, every shop game we have, we don't play just to play. Like, we playing to, like, yo, bro, you know I just beat you 4 times in a row, right? And I'm talking about, we sending text messages and talking crap at the end. Like, it's serious. It's serious for us. I think you got to have something like that, or else you will get comfortable and you won't continue to challenge yourself.
So, you know, and this is by no means knocking anybody at this table, but 3 out of the 4 of us have kids, okay? Now, I'm just saying it's a different dynamic. And it's not knocking Hyman. It's
yeah,
not,
yeah.
Right.
Josh, if you didn't have kids, how much would you practice? Like, how much more would you practice?
Man, I love my kids, but the bottom line is I don't know any player that wouldn't be better if they didn't have kids. Like, you know, I feel like it's difficult. But hey, you know what? Eddie had a baby. They had a baby, and he went off and probably played the best year he'd ever had. But I'd play a ton more, man. Like, a ton. Right. Like, dude, these people that come down from, like, Houston to our league nights, I'm like, how do you pull that off? Oh, wait, you probably have no kids, or, like, empty nest, or, you know, something like that going on. So, yeah, I would play a ton more. These kids traveling around like this, I'd be gone every weekend.
Right.
I don't have any worries about that, but, you know.
Well, because you said, like, 7 hours minimum. And so the reason I ask you is because you have kids, you have a wife. And so 7 hours, that's sometimes a lot.
Yeah,
so you're asking a lot.
I have the big benefit. So both of our work schedules allow us to be very flexible. So we're getting these hours in a lot of times 3 to 4 p.m. So like I have an online business. So I run shipments, and once those shipments are gone to USPS, my business day is technically over. So we're getting, most of our time is not in the evenings. It's actually mid afternoon, something like that.
Okay.
So it's tricky though, man. We talked about this. Like, when you're at this point, you have all the other boxes too, by the way. It's just the kids part that we have. But right. like you're trying to be, you know, if you're married, trying to be the best husband you can be. If you have kids, best father you can be, the best pro you can be, the best employee you can be, whatever you're doing. And it's a difficult thing to manage all those, because sometimes you get to where you're playing top-notch cornhole. Maybe you're not being the best husband right now. Maybe you've, you know, too many nights playing. You know, you need to dial it back. So it's a balancing act for sure.
And that's why I say, with this being technically it's a job, right? And your first commitment is to your family no matter what. So you have to be able to do that. If I can't do anything, it's going to be cornhole is what I can't do. Mm-hmm. My family's going to come first, absolutely. But you got to sit down with your wife and your kids and let them understand that this is a job. This is something that I need to put hours in to be great. And then you find that me and my wife have a calendar, and it's the best thing ever to do. Like, from this time to this time, she will not bother me ever about cornhole. This is my time to work. This is my time to, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. She had to make a commitment for us to be able to get a building put in my backyard. Like, that was a commitment financially that she had to sign on with. But understanding that, I can just go out in the back and get my hour in, and then right away, all right, now you're on kid duty.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But you got to make sure your kids and wife, they're taken care of first, and then this comes second.
It helps when that building pays for itself pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
I mean, so.
But it's paid off.
Yeah. I was just to make fun of Jaime, because he literally played like 5 times a week. And I'm like, how do you do that? You know, like, if I did that, I would not be married, you know?
Be in trouble.
But still trying to find that practice, because we're not going to be able to catch people like y'all if we don't practice.
Right.
And then y'all are practicing and y'all are going at it. So to me, I have to go even that much farther just to compete with y'all and right. get on that level.
Right.
And like you were saying, those young kids are doing it, you know, and they're probably doing, 20 hours a week, if not more.
Oh, man. And to your credit, like I said, like, just not having kids is only part of it. Like, you have age involved, health, and then, like, so you're having to work a full-time job to go play these kids that play all day, every day, right. and don't have a full-time. The full-time job is to beat you. Right. That's all they're doing. So, like, yeah, so it's much harder for you guys to stay at the top than it is for someone that doesn't have those responsibilities.
Right.
So, and that's no disrespect. I mean, like, I envy that. That's great. I wish we had found the game when we were all younger, because we'd be those kids, you know? Mm, that'd be us.
I know. So. We wasted years, so many years on softball row.
Oh, man.
We could have done.
Man, I played D-League softball. I wouldn't even.
Hey, that's the only reason we got good at this. We was so bad at softball that we played bags more than we played softball in the parking lot.
In the parking lot,
And I was like, let's play co-ed softball. Yeah. You know, but ultimately the best thing about that is have a conversation with your spouse and come to a common understanding. And if you got a spouse that is understanding, it would make it so much easier.
Right.
Because.
Oh, that's the blessing.
Yeah, because, you know, she checks off and signs off and understands. But we have to do our job at when we can be there, we have to be there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We got to be focused and we got to be engaged with our families at that part, because it makes her saying, yeah, you can go, because you've been taking care of everything. But now if you ain't doing nothing around the house, you ain't going
nowhere.
You know what I'm saying? That's how it goes, man.
Because think about that. You come home from a tournament. You are exhausted. You're so tired. But sometimes in their eyes, you just spent all weekend playing, you know. Right. So when you get home, you want to lay down and kind of just relax. Like, really, now it's time to put the dad, the husband hat, the employee hat. You got to put it all back on and go right back to it. So,
One question that I want to know, again, this is me personal. One thing that Ro and I have been going through this year, as far as every time we play, we have certain expectations. If it's, oh, y'all should win, y'all should not lose. How did y'all lose? The fact that y'all been on top for the last, what you stated, 3 years, how do y'all do that? How do y'all approach that mentally? How do y'all stay on top?
Man, that's a good question. And what I will say is, the number one thing is we respect what it takes to get there. Like, respect that ultimately, and we respect our competition. We understand that everybody's working, so we got to continue to work. When we don't work, it show. When we do work, we feel like our best put up against anybody else's best. That our work that we put in, we're okay with what happens after we put the work in. Mm-hmm. But when you don't put the work in, you got to accept the result. And the result isn't normally the best. I think that we respect the game so much and understand where it's at that we continue to work. And that's what makes us stay relevant for this long, is because the teams are only getting harder. They're getting harder and younger. You touched on it earlier. Mm-hmm. These kids are playing cornhole all day, every day. Like, we can't use any excuse. We have to work. If I'm going to travel to a tournament in Las Vegas, I better put the work in, or else when I get to Las Vegas, I'm going to get my butt kicked.
Yeah.
And that's that to me.
Yep. You know. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he hit that pretty square right there. Yeah, I mean, like, at this point, like I said, we've all gone full circle. A lot of these guys are on the way up. So how do they respond when they trip on the way up, you know? And you can quickly go from being at the top of your game to wondering, man, who was that guy? That guy didn't miss. That guy wasn't worried. And what's wrong with me? So trying to, you know, to get through that, you know, can be a challenging process. But I think the chemistry alone is what keeps us at the top. I mean, man, dude, I'd be lying to you if I said I didn't struggle like crazy, you know, just with all sorts of stuff in that 2020 year, the COVID year, the year that we all stayed home so much, mm-hmm. that had a weird effect on me. Like, I had some anxiety, some weird stuff going on. And if I didn't have, you know, guys like AJ and Eddie in my back corner, like, constantly motivating me, talking to me, and, you know, helping me out with that stuff, you know. So I think some players don't have that. You know, some players are just teammates, but they're not, like, partners.
Right. So I'm going to...
Not life partners, but...
Yeah. Well, it's not, yeah, I mean, could be, I guess.
I'm going to go a little farther on that. And, you know, I've been a big fan of both y'all for a very long time. And Jaime is always saying, like, oh, my goodness. Like,
right.
I'm always talking about y'all. one of the very first times I actually saw Josh was in a conference at Texas City. Mm-hmm. And I remember y'all were doing Sid and Goes. And I was like, oh, my God, that's Josh Gross. Oh, my goodness.
Can I play with him? Can right. I play with him?
I was a comp player at the time. Like, that's what I
you
was
You were never a comp player.
I was considered a comp player. And so watching you play that game, I think you win something like 30 in a row. And they try to block you, you went over. I mean, just backside airmails all day. And I was like, holy crap. Like, that's that.
And now you do it. well, now right. I'm watching him going like, golly, just why keeps did I going right
why
over there.
Why did I show him?
Yeah. Hey, sometimes we're like, we made a mistake, AJ. We told these guys too much.
That's exactly what I try to emulate is you, you know, because you are fearless. That's the right. one word that I got from everything watching you is that you were fearless. And I was like, no hesitation. You knew you were going to make it. Mm-hmm. The guy you're playing knew you were going to make it. And there's absolutely no, you can do nothing about it. Yeah. And I was just like that's cornhole, and that's what really got me going.
Right.
And then now you fast forward, and you have AJ, where you have a bag that's nowhere near the hole.
Craftiness, man.
And you bring it back, and I'm like,
yeah.
Did you switch hands or something? Yeah. Like, how did you do that?
Did you press A and B together?
Yeah.
So Josh, that was your year, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. You're number two in the world. The expectation on yourself. Like, does that get to you? Because I know everybody talks about it, and I hate to bring it up, but I want to personally know, like, you know, the 2019 Josh to the 2021 Josh.
Right.
You know, and I heard you one time say, you know, you're never going to compare yourself to that guy anymore.
Yeah,
because he's done. He's dead. Right, to, right. You know?
So I always, my big thing is I say, if you ever do find, like, I don't know, like, you don't feel like yourself, there, you know, there's a correction moments and some time, but sometimes you do have to acknowledge, you know what? I'm not worried about that guy. I'm not worried about who I used to be. I'm trying to create the new me. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I've done that. Because if you watch some of my struggle in the 2020 season. And so, by the way, when I say a year, so like that, for me, that's my 2019 season. Because it was 18-19. But so whenever I say a year, I'm talking about when the season ended. Mm-hmm. So my 19 season, arguably, you know, these little lists on Addicted to Cornhole, who's your top five? I'm in every top five. Mm-hmm. So it's hard in 2020 when I knew I had stumbled that, man, I wasn't in no one's top five. I should have been in no one's top five. And that's okay. So there was a moment where I tried to hold on to that person for a while. I got to save this. I got to save it. Well, then eventually you realize, all right, someone throw me a life raft at this point because I'm not worried about that, dude. I'm just trying to stay relevant right now. But so anyways, I went through that and it used to bug me a lot, man, because people expected that guy. Well, so when I was able to struggle to that point, those expectations kind of went away. But now I'm back to the underdog, which I love being that. So now I'm back to – I can sneak up on people now.
Mm-hmm. Now, AJ, on your part, so you see him. He's one of arguably the best in the world. You're obviously in his shadow.
Mm-hmm.
You're still very good. And then you see the decrease in play. Like, did that put more pressure on you, or did you love that? And you're like, you know what, I'm going to help my guy out, or, like, your expectation of yourself during that, and I hate to call it a downfall. But
no,
I
mean, it's
no, man,
that's
I mean,
what it is.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a very good question. And there's a couple ways to answer that. And I would tell you one for sure was, ultimately, he made cornhole doubles easy for me for a long time. You go back and look at averages. As before, they had, you know, the averages, you know, I'm averaging an 8.8. You know, 9, and we're winning a championship. In a championship game, I think I averaged an 8-something, 8-5, maybe.
I wish you threw like that now.
Hey, so.
Yeah, really, right?
You know,
this guy don't miss.
Hey, that was before the numbers, right? And then I realized that there was our first tournament where we knew there was a struggle. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, it was when y'all beat us in a championship.
Yeah, man.
When y'all beat us in the championship at Texas City. Mm-hmm. At that point, yeah, Raul, like, you was a big fan. You let us know, and you was so respectful, and you was so happy. And I wasn't happy about us losing that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, we hadn't lost any tournaments, especially not in Texas. We hadn't lost in Texas in years.
Oh, yeah.
You know, before that. Yeah.
We went drinking that night, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, so for real, so at that moment, I was like, nuh-uh. I got to turn it off. I was like, I mean, turn it up. He did so much for me to where he was carrying me through games. Now it's my turn to do that. Man, I went to work. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about when he wasn't, I was working by myself every day. I was traveling. I was driving to tournaments. I was driving like play. I was like, I got to work. I have to. I got to pay him back for what he was able to carry me through all this time. And, man, developed this crazy cut shot, crazy flop shot, crazy comfort airmail. And then after that, it was all history from that. I've turned myself into the best player I could be because I was comfortable being in a Robin role.
Right.
You know, he was Batman. I was comfortable being in a Robin role because ultimately, championship, I get my same half of the money no matter what position or role I play in.
Right.
It.
That's what I tell
so, hey, plus, he needed to be the top guy at the time. You know, that's what he wanted. Mm-hmm. He hated to lose. He hated all of that. So I was like, you know what? Now it's my turn to do that. And we kind of switched roles a little bit, and I turned up, you know, and I was helping us get to these wins, you know, kind of like he did before. But his struggle made me want it more because – we can't fall off. Mm-hmm. We can't fall off. He's not in a position to carry me like he has been, but we can't fall off. Mm-hmm. So now I got to turn up. And, like, that's kind of what I did.
It's great that you use that analogy, the Batman and Robin. Do you think that there can be two alphas on a team, or it has to be one or the other?
I think it can.
Yeah.
I don't see why it can't. It depends on who the people are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Some people can't stand that. I guess if you're – I don't know. I would see that as a character problem, though. If you can't handle someone else being, hey, I want him to be better than me. That's great. Because if I feel like I'm good and he's still better, we're going to win.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm okay with that. We've both been that guy. We've both been, man, even when I was that guy, they still knew him more than me. I'll never forget. We win the championship. I had that phenomenal year. Someone comes up to me at Spencer McKenzie's and goes, hey, is that AJ Sims? I said, that's him. Right?
That's that guy.
they asked me, is that him? I'm like, that's him.
I dealt with that so long though. I dealt with it so long. I didn't say nothing or much about it, but I dealt with it first. Hey, Josh Gross, you want to take a picture? Hey, guy, can you take a picture of us? Hey, you know what I'm saying? Hey, hey, that's how it was. Now I'm not gonna lie. Little kid be like, excuse me, Josh. AJ can't.
AJ.
Hey, Josh, take the picture.
Josh, take the picture, Josh.
Yeah. Hey, it can be a problem if you let it be. Like when we won the championship. To be honest, people were like unfairly crediting me as if I had like really like people were saying like congratulations, Josh, and I was like AJ won. You know, it was kind of a weird deal.
Right.
So people will do that. There's gonna be divisive people in your careers that will say things that will be like, man, Josh is struggling. I don't know how AJ deals with that, or man, AJ was off. I don't know how Josh is working with that. You know, like we've been at that point, but.
Right.
You just got to know each other. I mean, to be honest, you guys, you know, to kind of go back to y'all, y'all have played that role. No offense. He, like, when y'all first beat us, no offense, he was the stronger player.
Oh, yeah.
But then, like, there's been times where he appears to be the stronger player. Like, you know, so, I mean, we've both been that person. The main thing is don't get caught up being in a battle between each other, you know?
Right.
It's okay if someone's playing better cornhole. Like, it's going to happen.
No, yeah, I'm glad you said that. Sorry, Rodney, man, cut you off. That was going to be my next question. Like, what's your response to somebody that comes tell that either directly ask y'all or y'all hear other people say, oh, who's better? Oh, Josh is better or AJ's better. How do you respond to that?
So we both, honestly, because we feel this way, we got so much respect for the other person that my true, honest answer, when somebody asks me that, Josh is better than me. And I say that with, like, conviction. You know what I'm saying? He'll probably say the same answer to somebody.
Yeah.
Nah, man, AJ's on top right now. Or, like, man, even if Eddie, hey, man, Eddie ain't even in this, but, hey, Eddie's on top.
Yeah, Eddie was the best player in Texas last year.
I respect it so much. And what people don't realize is there's not one person in the game, outside the game, that can come between us.
Right.
There's not one person I talk to more every single day than this person sitting next to me. And he will tell me how he feels about me at all times.
Right.
I don't have to go find that out from nobody else. So if he's struggling, I got a text thread. Yo, bro, say, man.
Yeah.
Hey, you tripping. You see what I'm saying? Hey, same thing with me.
Get back in the lab.
Hey, say, bro, I'm not going to lie, man. You gave up some eights, bro. Like, that's why we lost. Like,
giving up touchdowns.
Hey, so we honest with each other so that nobody can come in and you're not going to surprise me with saying something. Yeah. You can't tell me Josh said something about me.
Right.
Because he's going to tell me himself.
We hold ourselves incredibly accountable. I mean, like, okay, Cobbs, man, I struggled at Cobbs and just had, like, a really bad game. So we lost the game. We never should have lost the game. He beat his side, but he comes up apologizing, saying, dude, that's on me. And I'm like, I averaged a 7-something. Like, and my opponent averaged an 8-something. He's like, yeah, but I averaged a 9 against a dude throwing us. You know, he apologized for not doing enough. Right. Even though he scored 15 of our 19 points, he was like, we still should have won. Like, that's my fault. So, you know, it really was my fault, but I know what he's saying. Cause
stats don't mean nothing.
You know what I mean?
Team,
when you're
right,
playing a game right. and you lose and you still, even if you totally carried the whole side, when you miss that one game winning slide, that's on me. Like, that's still my fault.
You know what's funny is that I hear people, like, just, I guess, acquaintances that you meet in the cornhole world, and that they feel comfortable enough to come up to you and be like, oh, yeah, we just lost that one, but I threw a 10.7.
Right.
I'm like, you'll never beat us. Because you just came up to me and you said you threw a 10.7 and you just dogged your partner. I was like, you'll never beat us.
Hey, most people that do that is that during the singles play, they play selfish. Me and him have a rule. Hey, don't get caught up playing singles in this doubles match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Is the word you're sitting there, look, I'm gonna keep washing my 12s out. You bleeding points on that side when I should be blocking and not worrying about, oh man, I'm throwing all mine in, so I threw a 10-7 and we lost. Like, you can't get caught up playing a singles game in a doubles match.
Right.
You didn't talk to me and tell me, hey, time out. Hey, look, this is what you need to do. Because that side is important, too. Mm-hmm. It's not at the end of the day. The stat tracker also could be a bad thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because you come up here.
I hate it, man.
Hey, check my average out. I averaged this. We should have won. Like, you can't do that. You know what I'm saying? Because ultimately, it's adjustments throughout the game as a team that you need to make. You know, you can't get caught up. Like, Josh actually came up with that. Hey, let's not get caught up playing singles in this doubles match.
Yeah.
And, like, that actually works for us. Man, we talk so much about strategy. We talking before the game. We talking after the game. We talking Monday during the week. We talking about our bracket. We sometimes don't look at our bracket, you know.
I hardly ever look at it. Hey, look,
this is what we're going to do. This is your job this game. This is my job this game. All right, ready? Break. Like, almost like a football huddle, you know. And then we taking timeouts when we need to take them, like, right. So.
There's also role play in games. So you have to identify the role play. And what I mean by that is there's a lot of times someone's a little weaker, someone's a little stronger, whether it's your opponent, whether it's you. So there's moments where maybe he's constantly getting 2 points, 2 points. And I feel like I'm just over there bleeding two, getting washes. I haven't scored yet. Mm-hmm. Well, that don't feel good. But when that one shot comes up where I can board it for a wash or shoot a high risk airmail and maybe lose three, I have to realize a wash is winning this game because he's got that side.
Right.
So we call that role play. We'll call timeout and be like, hey, role play, man. Like, you know, my bad, man. I'm not scoring. Like, dude, no, you do your thing. I got my side. So many people get caught up, like you said, playing singles in a doubles game. Biggest mistake you can make.
You know, it's funny. Now that I think about it, it's funny. Jaime, we hate blind draws. Can't stand them, right?
Yeah.
And so Jaime, it was just like his advice to anybody is like, just get it on the board and let me do the scoring, you know? I remember one tournament, I was struggling, and he tells me that. He goes, just put it on the board, and I was like, don't be talking about talking to me like I'm your blind draw partner.
Yeah.
But you're right, Josh. Like, a wash is sometimes a win.
Yeah.
And if I'm just washing, and then Hyman's doing the scoring or vice versa, like, we still win the game.
Man.
You know?
I remember first time that happened to us. I think Raul was on their side, and I was sitting there constantly. Every round, I was constantly saying, hey, keep doing your job. Keep doing your job. And then toward the end of the game, the person I was playing against, they asked me, hey, what are you talking about doing his job? He's not scoring. And I was telling him, after the game, I told him, that's the difference between us. Our chemistry is, I don't even have to tell him. All I got to say is keep doing your job. It's his job down there to wash against that guy. And I was, I mean, I told him not to be ugly, but
right.
it's my job to score points on you. Right. I'm supposed to beat you, right. and not to, that's all he has to do. And then that's what, like when people ask us, like, advice or what's going on, that's one thing that I say. You got to get that chemistry down where you got to know, you got to be willing, like Raul said, you got to be willing, okay, this game, Raul's going to be the alpha, and I'm going to be Robin, like Batman and Robin.
Right.
I was like, you got to be willing to do that, because if your ego gets the best of you, then you're going to beat yourself, and you're going to beat your partner. Yes. So absolutely. You're never going to go nowhere.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
So there's so many times where it's just like, hey, all he has to do is wash, or I know, okay, all I have to do is wash this game. It makes it easier on me. Yeah, I put a little bit more pressure on Raul, but at the same time, we're used to that already.
Right.
So we're going to talk a little bit about the Open that we won.
let's hear about it.
But it actually rolls perfect into what we were talking about, because in the championship game, even y'all text us, you're like, hey, don't get in an air mill battle with Jimmy.
Yes, please don't do that.
And I wasn't trying to, because whenever I told Jaime, I was like, I'm feeling it right now. So I'm just going to be throwing it in the hole. And I told him, I think out of the two, I think Greg will struggle more than Jimmy. And that was just my thought. I didn't know them. I go, so you have to do all the scoring, I'll wash. That was our whole game plan. And it kind of worked out. Like, I would score here and there off of Jimmy, and he would score off of me. But for the most part, he did a lot of the scoring.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he did a lot of the scoring, but I threw a little better, I thought.
Right.
That's besides the point, right, because we won.
Right, right. Yeah, exactly, man. Like, that's the same thing happened to us in our championship. Like, it just role play. It doesn't matter how you get it. Like, you know, hit the shots when they come up, but who cares? If I throw eights and we win – I mean, I might be a little aggravated at myself, but a win's a win.
Hey, Batman and Robin switch right. during games. Because Josh was definitely Batman in the championship game. But the semifinal game, I absolutely was Batman.
Right.
Against Ryan Windsor.
Perfect.
You know what I'm saying? So it switches between games. You got to be prepared to know what role you're playing. And there's going to be times where you're both going to be Batman. You see what I'm saying?
It's crazy because, like, y'all are so good and y'all have these perspectives and they're like, almost exactly what we think, but we didn't know that we thought like each other, right?
Yeah,
right.
Because there is one tournament where he was like struggling. Like, we played six games. He struggled the third, fourth, and fifth game. And I was like, hey, I know I got you here, and I know that you're going to get me in the championship, which he usually does. Like, he usually lights out in championship games.
Right.
And that's very comforting to me because I'm like, okay, if I'm throwing good, I know he's going to pick it up. And I'm not saying I can let off a little bit because I never want to let off, but it brings that comfort.
Exactly.
So, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, it's that expectation that everybody puts on you. Like, I mean, you know, it is what it is. But the greatest satisfaction that you can do is just go play cornhole, right?
That's fun. You got to remember that at the end of the day, that it is cornhole.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, and that it is fun, and that I started this with joy. Now, absolutely, the sponsorships that brings in pressure, that brings in like the will, you know, wanting to win and winning, and expectation is the win. But at the end of the day, I want to have fun and do my best.
Do y'all have additional pressure when y'all go into a tournament and you're the only pro team there?
Oh, man, yeah. hey, man, for whatever reason, like, that's more pressure than the pro tournament. Yeah. Like, because you're not supposed to give up any points.
You're not supposed to give up five in these, you know.
People forget, though, it's cornhole.
That used to bother Raul and I so bad when we first started playing. Once we got to that, I guess, that advance where we were kind of elite where, man, Josh, we would beat teams 21-2, but as soon as they scored that one point, they were cheering like they won the game. And at first, he used to bother us. He used to get under our skin. He used to be like, all right, you're never going to score a point no more.
Right.
And it took a while for Ro and I to realize that, hey, that's a compliment. At the end of the day, that's a compliment. Instead of getting mad and trying to add more pressure and be like, okay, well, you think you're going to score one or you're not going to score none. And that's just, I mean, once we tried to prevent that one, that's what allowed him to score more.
Yeah. And you're also at a point where, like, y'all are at a similar point to us. Like, if the right person beat you, you just made that person's career. Like, they're going to tell every single person how they beat you. Like, and it can be really frustrating as a pro because, you don't ever want to lose.
Right.
But, again, it just goes back to learning how to roll with the punches a little bit sometimes, you know.
Let me ask you a funny question. This is for both of y'all. Y'all have y'all's pro jersey. Do y'all ever wear it, like, at a regional or something like that? Or y'all just like, no, I don't want to wear it?
I think you wore yours at state one time.
So So
I've never worn mine.
That adds pressure, right?
Nah, I don't need. Hey, I don't need another target on a physical target on my back.
Or do y'all wear it as for a mind game? Like you mean?
So the reason I wore mine at State was A. It's the one jersey I have that has all my sponsors on it.
Okay.
So it wasn't more of like, hey, I'm a pro, check me out. It was like, these people support me, and this is a big tournament in the state. Most of my sponsors are from the state. I want to represent all of them. I don't want to choose which one to represent. This is the one jersey that I have. Also, in our state, ACL is sometimes the frowned upon league. So I wanted to make it clear where my stance was.
Gotcha.
I wanted to make it clear where I was at.
That's all cap. TCG gave him a wrong name on the back of his jersey.
Yeah, they did do that. They did do that.
They put two M's or
man,
what?
Man, put two M's, bro. that's my biggest pet peeve, bro. If you put two M's on my jersey, that means you don't know me. So, like, at that point, like, or you ain't trying hard enough.
Right. I know it's his pet peeve, but, man, somehow people do that. Every year, someone does it. Someone that we know really well does it every year. Jeff, and it was Jeff Robinson, TCG, and he was like, "I swear, it was autocorrect on my phone." AJ
it
was
ain't
just
no
like,
"Autocorrect."
AJ was just like, "It's you've done. It's done, man." It's,
yeah,
like, he felt real bad about
that. Yeah, I was gonna walk, man. I'm not even gonna lie. I'm out. I don't want to do this company. They don't ever spell gross, G-R-O-S-S. When that's you hear that more than gross,
right? Yeah, you're right.
I'm not gonna say what I think it was.
So working here at Buffalo, me and Jaime have been getting a lot of texts from non-pros and asking, how do I take that next step to get sponsorships? Mm-hmm. And so y'all being in the game for so long, like, how was y'all's approach from the very beginning when y'all knew y'all were something and y'all were like, well, we want to travel, but it's going to cost money, so let's go get some sponsorships?
For me,
he bridged off everything that we did in the beginning. that was KB.
What I will say is that at the time, like, I wasn't making much money anyway. And like I said, I have four kids, and traveling and these things is super expensive. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I was like, hey, I want to go make some money just to get there. Like, I was like, I can't go if I don't get this. I had a couple sponsors reach out to me and say, we want to support everyone. And that's kind of how my sponsorship journey started. I was able to generate a buzz at that point. And then, like, now I can ask for, you know, what I think it takes. Because my first year, I paid for everything off on the side of my pocket. The next year, it was 50%. I paid for half. And then, ultimately, I realized what it took. And, like, if I'm going to do this, I shouldn't be paying for it, you know. But to reach out to sponsors, like, that's tricky, man. Mm-hmm. Because all money isn't good money. And I believe that. Like, I believe that. I want to be behind a brand that stands for the same values that I actually stand for. Right. I don't want to just put your stuff on my jersey just because, you know, you gave me the right amount of money. Right. You know, I want it to be something that I believe in, something I can show my kids that I'm proud of. So that's what it is for me.
Yeah. A bit of strategy is to start, like, with brands that are associated with the game. Who has the most at stake to make a little bit of return on their investment? Mm-hmm. Because as a player, the last thing you should go into, you don't want to feel like you got your hand out. No one wants a donation. That's the worst feeling in the world. Will you sponsor me? No, that feels horrible if it feels like a donation.
Right.
So come up with pre-generated ways to give back to your sponsor. Like, so what if it's a set of boards, say you want a board sponsor, you know, like, talk to them, be like, hey, I was thinking we could do a couple raffles. Here's what I'm trying to get. If you can make this many boards, you know, we can come up with the money that way. Just something creative like that. Find ways to give back to your sponsors. Mm-hmm. If you got TikTok, social media, there's a lot of TikTok stars right now that are not the best players, but they're the most popular people on TikTok. So find ways to get involved with companies that are already in the game. That's the number one thing to start with. Follow the people that are having success with their sponsors. Look at what you guys are doing with your sponsors, what we're doing. I think that's a good model to work with. Mm-hmm. Loyalty is key, too. So, I mean, like, if you have...
That's the most important piece.
Yeah, if you have an agreement, contract, you know, do your best to honor that. Even if it doesn't always make sense to you, find ways to talk with your sponsors, you know, and find out what they expect out of their players. So then you can have a good mutual relationship and hopefully one you can build on. Mm-hmm.
So in Texas right now, do y'all know how many pros we have? I'm asking because I don't know. I know we have a lot.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Let's go through it.
I think we have, like,
I don't want to forget nobody.
I know. Like, 15.
Are we counting PDC as well? Pro development?
Let's go True Pros and then we can go.
Yeah, True Pros.
All right, True Pros. Okay. We got 4 here. Eddie KB, 6. Ricky G, 7.
Ernest
Delgado.
Ernest Herrera, eight. Delgado's PDC though.
Steve
Woodland. No, he's all in. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Vanessa. Steve Woodland.
9, 10, Vanessa. Todd. 11, Deb. 12, Steve.
Todd.
13, Todd. And there might be, man, we're leaving somebody out probably.
I think it was like 14.
Kenny.
Yeah, Kenny Tackett, yeah.
I think it was 14, 15.
Okay, yeah.
So I bring that up because we almost, what, tripled?
I think it's an odd number because Ricky's with Dylan in Oklahoma. So
okay.
Yeah,
probably an odd number.
We almost tripled the amount of pros we had from last year.
Oh, PJ Sorrow.
PJ Sorrow. Yeah.
Yeah, right,
sorry,
Houston.
Man. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Man, sorry, PJ.
My bad, PJ.
Hey, PJ. Hey, I got you, boy.
PJ ain't really from Texas, though.
That's what we always tell him. We always give him a hard time, too. I said, you're not really from Texas, bro.
You're from
not
Boston
yet.
Or somewhere.
I tell him, you got to live here at least 3 years to be
Yeah.
So the reason I bring that up is because one thing that I told Jaime last year, and I told y'all the same thing, is whenever y'all won the Texas State, I didn't know it was four times in a row. Mm-hmm. And I told Jaime, I said, that ends next year.
We'll see you on the finals.
It ends next year.
See you on the finals.
But just to go back and look at how many pros we have in Texas, like, that's kind of crazy, right?
I mean, it is.
Yeah.
From where y'all started, because y'all have been there since the very beginning, like, where Southwest Conference wasn't even, it was a joke, really.
Right. It was.
Man. And now we're to the point where we have, 20-plus pros in the whole conference combined. And, I know we didn't do that great in the Conference Cup, but, I think that we're at least top five.
Absolutely, man. I will say that. Like, it's been lonely at the top, man, because when we first started going, it was top heavy, so bad. It was four or five of us. I think it might have been like seven of us.
Hey, when your sponsors are on your Conference Cup team,
I mean, we had competitive people based off of points playing in our thing.
Yeah,
and we had to win our four singles to even beat any team.
To be fair, they earned their spot. You know, like, but the thing is, you know, you're going out there. We have, kind of a bubble situation with the two leagues here in this state. So we did have really good players that weren't acknowledged or a part of that program.
I mean, you saying you're earning spots, I understand that was the nice way to put it. But if we're going to be honest, like, these people played in a lower division, mm-hmm. and we're playing against pros.
Right.
Right.
So it's like.
Yeah. Oh, you're talking about people that was competitive all year long and then playing.
That's a big difference.
You weren't even playing advanced.
That part's true. That's true.
So that made it hard. But right now, I can tell you, I feel comfortable with what we have. And it feels great because not only do we don't have just enough pros to say we have pros. We got pros that will win. Mm-hmm. Like, absolutely.
Right.
You know, I'm excited about that.
The men and the women.
Like, dude. For real.
Oh, yeah. Women are, yeah.
Y'all got Deb messed up, man.
Yeah.
Hey, Deb coming and Vanessa.
You know, I told Deb, what was it the last time I saw her? I was like, the one person I do not ever want to meet is Deb. Like, she's the nicest person, but, man, she will kill you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man, Deb don't play. You know? Like, for real. What I like about Deb is Deb is the ultimate competitor. I'm not going to say she's the most competitive person as a woman. Deb is the ultimate competitor.
Yeah.
Deb works in her backyard every single day.
Man.
She texts us about shots. She thinks about everything she does. She's so calculated. And she's a killer. She wants to kill and destroy you.
When she sets a goal, like, you can't really keep her from obtaining it. She told us she wanted to be a pro when she was, like, definitely a competitive player. And, you know, that's hard. That's hard, you know, to fully acknowledge someone's dream in that moment. Yeah. She meant it. And look at where she's at now. And she continues to turn heads and surprise people. So her and Vanessa, we got some solid pros.
Let's talk about this pro season coming up and what y'all's expectations for yourselves in doubles and in singles.
Win another national championship, 1,000%, like in doubles for sure, because, you know, doubles, that's my priority, 100, you know, all the way. Singles, man, I've got my goals set to be in the top 20. I'd love to sit here and say, player of the year. Like, but I'm making my goal now. I want to be that person, but top 20 is my goal in singles. In doubles, I want to be in the top 10 again, and I want at least one title.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to be team of the year in doubles. I think that is a fully obtainable goal. It takes an incredible amount of drive and focus. I think that I can actually make that a goal. So, yeah.
Hey, and for me, I want to singles. I want to win another bracket. You know, 2020, I won a bracket in the World Championships. I want to do that again and go all the way this time, not choke.
Yeah.
In the finals.
Well, I saw that game. It was like maybe two rounds.
I mean, yeah, but it was two rounds where those are the two rounds I lost.
Right.
And
right.
That actually taught me a lot about myself in that moment.
We've all won a singles bracket. Eddie, Caleb, and me have all won a singles bracket. We've all had a chance. Like I got a second overall, I got a third, and Eddie has a third. And Eddie's been in the finals, man. So like we're right there. Texas,
yeah, we're right there, man.
Texas is gonna get.
And Raul should have won one.
Yeah,
this fool starts shooting extra Air Mail.
Yeah,
he was playing hero bags.
Hey, I'm sitting and like open board Air Mail, Raul.
Yeah,
that's gonna be my new nickname.
Yeah,
open.
Hey, this is about y'all, not about me.
No, this is about part of what we do, like I said, even in that moment, like supporting you and you know everything you do. So like, I definitely want to say, man, I was impressed
with both y'all. I mean, who stopped you, Josh Holland?
Yeah,
I mean, heck, man, that's that's the only person that ended your day. You know, at the end, like, is the only one that who beat you?
Josh did, and
Ryan
did. Yeah, Ryan Finnegan.
Ryan can be the best player
and the worst at the same one. Yeah. Tell the truth.
What's your record against Ryan?
We even, but I let him win.
I let him win.
Anyways, what I was saying about Raul is me and Raul was taking, you know, similar journeys. Like I said, he was the backseat at first. He worked hard because normally if Raul and Jaime lost, it was Raul's fault. It's the same thing. If me and Josh lost, it was my fault. Well, it got to the point to where, you know what, hey, I'm going to work hard. And working hard ultimately made the team better.
Right.
Yep. And like that's, you know, our journeys are real similar.
You know, something that I really appreciate too is that you, Josh and Eddie and a bunch of other people, Ricky, I think was there. Y'all were all front row watching me play. Mm-hmm. Like y'all didn't have to be there, you know, but the way y'all are and the way, you know, the Texas pros, the original ones, they truly do support everybody else. And I know that y'all care about all the other pros and even the advanced players that are coming up. Y'all want to see them succeed because, I mean, the pros that I know, you probably have the most fire that I've ever seen. Like, you literally, like, are the nicest guy, but then you're like, hey, let's play a cash game. You're like, all right, let's go. Like, and then you're just focused. I mean, nobody can stop you. And,
appreciate that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, y'all, not to get too cheesy, but, I mean, y'all are the reason why I wanted to become pro. You know, not just that, but also, you know, me and Jaime had a goal. Hey, let's be the first team from Houston to go pro. And so we did that.
Yeah, and I feel like you guys went from wondering if you could do something to fully believing you could do it. And that's when y'all decided y'all knew y'all could be those kind of players.
And
stop wondering if you could do it. That, man, y'all turned a major corner and fast. Man, you started, because like I said, you had the hot hand in the beginning. You were beating 80 KB and, you know, like, consistently you're beating them more than they were beating you. You're winning those tournaments, and I mean, from that moment, then you just followed along, and then bam, next thing you know, like, you're not missing either. So y'all became the team y'all wondered if y'all could be, because y'all realized we are that team.
Right.
So, hey, and we're fans of y'all too, like, so yeah, I don't want y'all to think it's one way. I've been telling you the whole time, like, hey, let's go. Get this pro, man. I can't wait to see y'all out there. Like,
after this, we're going to trade seats, and we'll just ask the question.
We can trade seats. Hey, even though Jaime did beat Caleb and Eddie in that tournament, I think I beat him twice.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. I was going to say it.
He wasn't going to leave that out.
Hey, don't edit that out.
All I'm saying is we have two lanes right here. We can run singles.
I've never played either one of y'all in singles, have I? I don't think so.
I think the first time I played with you was one of our first we went to four downs.
We played, but you were just barely
I was just
in
getting
advanced.
Into the game the first time we went to four downs.
Yep. And, that's right. We did played. Play.
Yeah. Oh, and I beat Jaime at State. I forgot. I didn't.
Did he? Oh yeah, you did beat me at State.
Oh man!
Hey, you know, we're gonna edit
that. Hey, don't edit that out.
We're gonna edit that. No, but it's funny that, I mean, AJ, you mentioned it earlier as far as you made that comment where nobody's gonna get between you and Josh. Mm-hmm. It's funny when people, I guess, try to get in their mind game, head games, and be like, Rose better than you. Right. And sometimes we just laugh, like, sometimes like, dude, y'all don't realize that.
Yeah.
One, you're not gonna get in between us.
You can't.
Two, most of the time, if you say that to me, you say that through, you're going to piss him off, you're going to piss me off, and you're going to lose the game.
Right.
Three, they don't realize that even, like you mentioned, that time he was making that run, and a couple people were mentioning and telling us that the one person that was there rooting him was me. I was right there.
I was going to bring that up, too.
And then the first time when I made the run in our first open in Jacksonville, when I made that run, I was the first thing I told him when I made the appearance, I told him, hey, be where I can see you.
Yeah.
Because even where I'm playing, I know you're not playing doubles. I'm going to look at you like you are playing doubles. Right. And, I mean, it's just more comfortable. Because even we could play a regular league game, and people always make fun of me. God, they always tell Ro, let Jaime shoot. And it's like, it's just a habit now. Whenever I'm like 50-50, I got to look at him. Right. I got to look at him. And not so much, oh, he's going to tell me what to do. It's just his, for me, it gives me the confidence that, okay, if he believes that I can make this air mail or this drag, okay, then I can do it.
It almost gives you a little extra juice to be
feels, it gives me a higher purpose of like, I'm now playing for myself and that person. So I love to look at people and like, you know, like that I know are already cheering for me. Mm-hmm. Man, dude, I had Eddie in a perfect spot in the 2019 championship. And like, I looked at him every time I scored, you know, cause like, I was like, hey, you're, me and you are playing this game too.
Right.
So, I mean, like, man, it helps me a lot when I see
But it's easy for us too in that aspect to go off of that is that we don't just cheer for each other in bags. We cheer for each other in life.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he got something going on with his marriage. Yo, man, I'm mm-hmm. rooting for you to succeed.
Oh, yeah.
If there's anything that I can do to help that, I'm going to help. Hey, man, I'm rooting for him in fatherhood. I'm rooting for him in everything that he does. So whenever he's playing bags, it's easy to continue to root.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Right. Bags are the small part.
It's funny because, like, whenever I wasn't working here at Buffalo Boards, like, me and Hyman call each other almost every day. Almost every day. Now he doesn't call me no more.
Yeah.
Because we see each other 5 times a week.
Now we're like, dude, I won't talk to that dude all the weekend.
Clip with a song. Yeah. You don't even call me.
But it's funny because whenever he was working, there was times I used to make fun of him or give him a hard time. Like, dude, I probably talk more than you need to talk to your wife during the day.
Easily.
Like, easily. It got to a point where his coworker knew
that part out.
No.
He going to get in trouble. He going to get in trouble.
No, but even his coworker, like the one of the main helpers that he had working with him, he already knew what was going on.
Right.
Like, he already knew what tournament we played in, what we were talking about, whatever. It's just because, like I said, we talked all the time.
Hey, that's what it takes, man. You build that camaraderie. That's why you can't just put number one player in the world, number two player in the world, stick them on the board, and you do your thing.
Right.
Nah, yeah. They're more likely to lose.
And like y'all said, it's lonely at the top. So like, when you start out in this game, some people had this problem too, and you know what I'm talking about when I say it. But in the beginning, everybody is your fan. The more success you have, the quieter it gets around you. It's kind of weird. Like,
yeah, we found that. Yeah.
The next thing you know, all the people that really was for you, it's us versus y'all, and it's a quiet crowd.
Right.
Yeah. Now, some of that could be because, you know, everyone's cool with everybody, but. You know what I mean, though? Like,
right.
Like, people get quieter and quieter over time. And, you know, so if you aren't there for him and vice versa, man, then, you know, that could be a toxic vibe, you know, with that much, you know, that going on. So
right, it turns from admiration to envy.
Yes.
Right. And that happens so easy. You don't have to do anything for them to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one thing about, like, this, you know, in the...
And it's like they want you to lose.
That's the one thing in Texas. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In Texas, and I'll call it like it is, we did nothing but win. We didn't do nothing wrong. You can't find one text message where I talked about somebody, where I didn't support somebody, where I didn't sign an autograph, where I didn't take a picture with a little kid, I came in there cocky saying I was going to win. The only thing I did do was win, and that was a problem for some people.
Right.
Like, just winning was a problem for some people. Like, that I was coming to win all the big money. Like, you always want to go where the money is. I'm not going to travel 4 hours for no money.
Right.
Well, it's the same people saying that, and they're there. I'm like, like, what?
You're there too. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know.
But it's a problem because they know when we come for the money, we normally leave with it.
Right.
And, like, that's not being cocky. That's just, I'm stating facts.
Right.
We normally leave with it. They go, and they know if we're there, their chances of lesson to get that.
We got some people that tell us now we'll show up to tournaments, and not everywhere, but and some people do it joking around, but when we get to some tournaments, when people walk up to us, they're like, hey, should we just give you our entry fee now, or just gonna get it from the guy, you know what I mean? But some of the guys that do it, it's just expectation. And at first it was that would put more pressure, and especially me, because there's times when we get to big tournaments, I tell her, oh dude, I'm nervous, I don't know why, but I'm nervous. And then it took me a while to realize that it was just the expectations that I don't, like, I'm not, like you mentioned earlier, like, you're not supposed to lose. So once you lose, that's, like, the talk of the day.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And it was weird when people would be like, you know, y'all just come out here for the big money. I'm like, well, I mean, we're not going to go 3 hours for a local tournament. I mean, it's like they think we don't do that stuff. I'm like, I pay my dues every league night, even though it's social grade switcholio. I said, I do all that stuff back home. You just feel like you see me at the big money, and that's all I do. I'm like, right. I play plenty of pointless tournaments that don't have any money just because I enjoy the game and trying to hang out with the people that support us.
And support, yeah.
But it's like if they don't see you, I'm like, you're not going to see me in Dallas playing that level of an event. Why would I do that? I do that at home.
Right, and that's some of the main people, too, that are also – they want a consolation trophy as well. They don't want – like, and for every person that complains that we come, there's another person that says, hey, I know I'm not good enough, but I want to play against you. Mm-hmm. Hey, $40 cash game right now. Wait, come on, man. You know you're going to lose it. No. It's an investment for me.
Right.
I did the same thing. My very first national, I went. I paid James Baldwin
$50.
I mean, that was the rate. You want to play James Baldwin? You can get up there and you can watch him play for free,
Derek King. You
can play him for $50. And that I wasn't going to win, but guess what? I got real close. I knew what I needed to work on by playing him.
Right.
I saw what he did. I played against him, and I was that close. That $50 investment let me know what I needed to do.
Yeah.
People do that to us all the time. Like, I want to play you. I don't care what it costs. Like, I'm not going to charge. You got to pay $100 to play me. No, that's not what it is. What I'm saying is,
hey,
like,
a little booth.
hey, the one time we had a booth and we were playing people, we lost.
All I'm saying is,
when we did Jerry Shaw at Outlaw,
they split us up.
Who I played with, Wendling? Yeah, we
lost.
I
played with Steve. You played with Todd. Right?
Yeah, we lost.
We lost.
We both was losing because we weren't used to the bags and the partners was switched.
Yeah,
but
we got beat. But hey, we lost.
Loss is a loss.
Hey, we lost to Justin Lang. Think about that. That was Justin Lang at the time.
When?
When?
Yeah.
It was just we didn't lose to.
Well, funny enough, Justin Lang now was. You could lose to him any day, you know. Right. So
he was good back then.
You could tell he was. It was like he was right there back
but
then.
He was hungry.
Yep.
All right, guys. Josh, AJ, thank y'all so much for stopping by. Any last shout outs y'all want to shout out?
A shout out Cody Rodenberger, TC. Tiffany Davidson for believing in us. The whole TC team back home. Hey, we want to appreciate y'all for having us. You know, Buffalo and Billy and you guys, what I'm saying?
TCG, which is Texas Cornhole Games, Kansas City Cornhole, Mark Isley out there in Kansas. SSC, Austin Airmail out of Austin, of course. Chase Hunter, our conference director, does an amazing job of everything with cornhole for all of us. So big shout out to all you guys. Really appreciate everything.
All right, guys. Thank y'all for coming. See y'all next time.
See ya.
That was pretty cool.